This is the Medicast, December 21st, 2009.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
This is the Medicast, a podcast for EMS providers by EMS providers, featuring EMS news, products, tips, tricks, and commentary. So grab your gear and glove up. Here's today's show with the Podmedic, Jamie Davis.
Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of the Medicast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Podmedic, and I'd like to welcome everybody to the show this week. We have a lot coming up. The holidays coming here. For those of you that celebrate Christmas, I know I'm insanely busy, but you know what? EMS doesn't stop in the course of the holidays. In fact, in many cases, we may be even busier. So I'm going to continue to put out my shows throughout the course of the holidays so that you will have a Medicast to listen to, and want to make sure that we continue to do that. In the meantime, I do want to remind you, this is episode 198 of the Medicast, and we're coming up on episode 200 in just a couple of episodes, and I'd like to hear from you, the listeners. So send in a comment. You can record something on your computer and attach it to an email and send it in to me at podmedic@mac.com. You can also call in on the voicemail line, 941-306-3342. 941-30-MEDIC. Call in on that voicemail line and leave a message for episode 200 of the Medicast. I'll be putting together a mashup of my favorite comments from the voicemail line, and so you can be short and sweet and to the point, and I'll try to include your voice in our special 200th episode coming up in just a few weeks here, the first episode of 2010. So make those calls now. It'll take you 2 seconds, and you can call in. Again, 941-306-3342, 941-30-MEDIC. Don't forget, you can also check out the website, medicast.com/blog is your resource to find all of the information here presented in the Medicast podcast, along with other articles and resources you'll find there. You can find a link right there at the top of the page for show notes. Click on that. You'll see your most recent episode, and you can go back in time through other episodes or use the search box to find other topics. And you can find all of the links and information discussed in any episode quickly and easily that way. And it's a great way for you to follow up. I can only present so much information here in a short time frame, but I do always provide you links to my news stories and also links to additional resources for the tip of the week so that you can follow up and make sure you understand how this information applies to you and your specific protocols and practice of EMS. For those of you who are following what we're doing with my friends Ted Setla and Chris Montero and some of the other guys over at the Chronicles of EMS web series, they are working hard on editing that first series premiere pilot episode, and they've actually put together a great preview trailer, so you can check out what to look for and some of the great information and look at how this show is going to be presented. I've put a link in the show notes for that, and you can also head over to chroniclesofems.com and follow a link there for the new video trailer, but I just wanted to let you know that that's out there. I would urge you to check it out and spread the word to your friends, whether you are on Facebook or Twitter or just by email. Send that link around because it's really exciting. I can't wait for the final product to be out there and available. And I think it's going to be one of those things that's going to really change the way we look at ourselves and our, you know, wouldn't it be great to have our own TV series made by us for us? And I think that that's what the guys over there at Chronicles VMS are doing. So I would urge you to check out that link. Again, I'll have a link in the show notes for you as well. Let's get into a little bit of listener email. I got an email from listener Carlos. Carlos is checking out a paramedic program up in Connecticut, and he's excited about getting started in that and starting his classes. He picked up my MedMath Simplified DVD over at the Medicast store and has been working through the problems there and checked in with me to thank me and to also ask me some additional questions and get some pointers. And I thought I'd just send out a shout out to you guys. You know, I have my resources you can pick up over at the Medicast store. They're always available over there, and I've worked hard on putting those things together. But there are a lot of other great resources for medication and MedMath, including my good friends Greg Fries and Jim Huffman. got together and did a recent EMS boot camp segment on medication and EMS math. And you can find more on that if you go over to emsbootcamp.com. I know that boot camp, I think, was available for free, but you should be able to get a recorded copy of it for, I don't think that much. I think it's a very reasonable fee. And you can get that information directly from them over there, or contact them directly. But I just wanted to kind of give you an idea. There are some other med math resources out there. And of course, again, you can always find my med math resource over at the MedicCast store, the Med Math Simplified DVD. And, you know, I always appreciate when you support and are able to help yourself out by supporting the MedicCast that way and get the information you need at the same time. And Carlos, thanks for checking in, and thanks for supporting the MedicCast, and good luck to you in your continuing studies in your school to become a paramedic. I also got an email in from longtime listener and supporter David. He's set up an EMS conference coming up on Saturday, January 30th in East Hampton Village, New York. East Hampton Village Ambulance Service is setting up this conference. They have a variety of speakers coming in: Dan Limmer, John Mistovich, Paul Werfel. And I think that you might want to check this out. He's not charging anything for EMTs to attend this conference. They're a volunteer agency and have put this together out of their training budget. So I would urge you to support this. If you're in that region, it sounds like it's going to be a great one-day conference for EMS continuing education, and I would urge you to check that out. And if you want to get in touch with David directly, send me an email to podmedic@mac.com, and I will go ahead and I will forward that email to him, and he can get back in touch with you directly. He didn't send me an a website link or anything for this, but if you send me an email for East Hampton EMS Conference, I'll forward that email directly to him, and then he'll get in touch with you about the details on that conference. Again, coming up January 30th, that's a Saturday from 9 to 6 in East Hampton, New York. And it does remind me that if you're looking for speakers for a conference you're putting together in your region, myself or any of the other EMS podcasters with whom I associate are available based on our schedules to come out and do something. We can present on a variety of topics, on a variety of levels of training and care. And so if you're putting together a conference and would like to do something on that, we can talk about educational issues. We can talk about using things like podcasts and online web education tools to assist in continuing education as well as student education. And again, if you'd like to find out more about that or inquire about bringing me into your area for a speaking engagement, we'd love to set that up and get out and talk to you in your region. So you can send those questions into me here as well to podmedic@mac.com, and I will get right back in touch with you. Time to kick into this week's news, and I'm going to look at a story that's a little alarming, but I think it's something we all need to keep in mind. A Louisville, Kentucky jury or court allowed an EMT to go ahead and plead guilty to manslaughter in a motor vehicle accident when this EMT, Tammy Brewer, was driving an ambulance with a patient in the back. And she left the road, went through a fence, and struck a tree or a telephone pole. Well, I'm not sure which, but and the patient in the back, who was going to the hospital with a nosebleed, sustained a blunt force trauma to the head and died as a result of injuries from that accident. And this just brings to mind that we really need to keep our emergency status in perspective. Just because we run lights and sirens, just because we have the ability to disobey some traffic signals in certain specific situations does not mean that we shouldn't take due regard for the situation at hand and drive carefully and safely according to whatever the driving conditions allow. And this is something that I think that many, many EMS providers and drivers, and I'm guilty of this too. You get that little bit of adrenaline jolt while you're driving down the road with your lights on, your siren going. And we need to rein that in. We need to keep in mind the concepts of due regard for traffic laws and the drivers around us. We need to keep in mind traffic conditions, road conditions, and weather. and we need to do what we are supposed to be doing and keep in mind that our ultimate goal is to get our patient alive to the hospital. And so if we're shaving off a few seconds, how often does 30 seconds off the end of a trip really make that much difference? Or even 2 minutes off the end of an ambulance trip really make that much difference? And I would say to you that it doesn't very often at all make that much difference when you're talking about care in the back of an ambulance. We can do so much in the back of our units now to sustain a patient that getting them to the hospital, to the appropriate facility, and into definitive care and care of a physician is ultimately our goal. And we can do that in all but the most unusual of situations is we really don't have to be worrying about speed of transport so much as safety of transport. And I think that you should look at this article, read through it, and use this as a cautionary tale to remind you when you're driving and behind the wheel of an ambulance with both your partners on board or when you also have a patient in the back. Either way, we need to keep these things in mind when we're heading down the road. Next up is a story I picked up at emsresponder.com, and it is an article about EMS providers in Nova Scotia being educated to deal with a person who has autism or autism spectrum disorder, and being able to understand what autism is, understand how these patients need special care and special ways to approach them and to deal with them. And I think this is a very important topic that every EMS provider should educate themselves about and include in their continuing education program, updating themselves about these types of special needs patients, as well as many other types of special needs patients. And especially if you are aware of an autism specific facility in your area. We don't institutionalize people with autism, but we do have special programs in place for people with autism. And you may have an outpatient daycare or some kind of special care center in your community for giving programs to people with autism. And you should be aware of this, and you should work together with the staff of that facility, with your local EMS training organizations, hospitals, and also local autism societies to educate yourself about dealing with and transporting autistic patients. And we're not just talking about autistic children. We have many, many autistic adults that are working in the community as well. And we need to be aware of some of the common signs to recognize autism and then to shift our approach so that we can effectively treat these patients. Because if we do this the wrong way, we're not going to be able to treat them and help them and provide the care for them that they need. And ultimately, that's our job. Finally, I have a final story here in the news. The state of Maryland has had several deaths associated with hypothermia lately, four related to people who fell out of boats and suffered hypothermia after falling into frigid waters in the area as we are in the midst of December and a cold snap rolling through at this time. People need to be aware of the dangers of hypothermia and to be prepared to safely rescue their passengers on a boat and get them to the necessary treatment when that is necessary as well. And of course, for the rest of you out there that are EMS responders, it's a good time for you to review your hypothermia protocols. Are you a passive rewarming or active rewarming state? Do you have protocols that allow you to do certain things to warm up your patients? And do you understand some of the dangers of warming up a cold patient too quickly? So these are things that we need to keep an eye on. And I would urge you to read this article. It's also from emsresponder.com, but it's a writer at the Capitol in Annapolis, Maryland, talking about Maryland State Natural Resources Police, EMS statewide officials, and others in the state of Maryland really coming out and talking about hypothermia and how it is important to be aware and raise awareness of the community. And this is, again, one of those situations where you can actually write an article for your local community, for your local newspaper, go and talk to a reporter and have them write the article, talk about the risks of hypothermia, do some research, find out the numbers of hypothermia and cold-related deaths in your community in the previous year and what they were related to, and then go back and talk to a reporter or put an article or put a press release together to talk about how you deal with these problems as EMS providers in that community, and how the people in the community can become more aware and to protect themselves and others when people are exposed to the cold for an extended period of time. Time now for a tip of the week. And this tip of the week is actually a segment I recorded at the EMS Expo back in the end of October when we were down in Atlanta with the other EMS podcasters down there. And I was able to speak with Greg Adams from the Medic Alert Foundation. Now, many of you may know Medic Alert as the company that makes those bracelets and necklaces that we look for on patients with chronic and ongoing health problems. And that's true, but there's a lot more to it. And it was great to talk to Greg for some time and get an idea of what else they've gotten involved with at the Medic Alert Foundation. This is a nonprofit organization that really provides a great service to the medical community. And that includes us as well, because we're on the front lines and we often are the first ones to benefit from some of the services that Medic Alert brings to the table. So the Medic Alert Foundation, here is a segment recorded at EMS Expo in October. Hi, this is Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and this is another segment of the Medic Cast from the EMS Expo. We're recording these live from the expo floor and in an opportunity to really tell everybody out there that isn't able to get to the expo what exactly we're doing here. And so I had an opportunity to grab a hold of Greg Adams from Medic Alert Foundation. And Greg, welcome to the Medic Cast.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
So we want to talk a little bit about what the Medic Alert Foundation does, because I think people don't understand. They think, oh, this is the bracelet people, but there's really a whole lot more to the Medic Alert Foundation than just the bracelets.
You are correct. There is a whole lot more than just a bracelet. Most people have several medical conditions, not just one. And you're limited to how much you can engrave on the back of one of those bracelets. With that, from the very beginning in 1956, when Dr. Collins set this program up, he established for lack of any other term, a portable medical record that we set up, and it has only pertinent information available for the emergency personnel, and it's to protect our members from getting treatment that they don't need or getting treatment that will be harmful for them.
And so how do they access? I'm a paramedic on the street. I have somebody, and I know we have a lot more than just bracelets available now. We'll get into that maybe a little bit later. But, you know, I find somebody, and they have a pendant, and it says, you know, this person is on blood thinners, for instance.
Right.
And how do I access additional information beyond that?
Well, on the back of every ID is the Medic Alert 800 contact number. If they're a member that's been a member a long time, it may be the 209 call collect number as well. So, but that number's on the back of every ID. And along with that, right at the bottom of the ID, right under where the engraving is of what the medical conditions are, is an individual medical ID number. And every member of Medic Alert, all 4 million of them out there, have their own ID number. So when a paramedic or an emergency room staff, they come across this, somebody makes a call Now, we know the paramedic's a little busy. That paramedic's not going to make a call. If it's a hot call, we know there's going to be a fire captain or a fire crew. Let one of the fire crew that's not busy doing patient care make that call and get the information. It'll provide you their medications listing. It'll provide you all of their allergies, including any food allergies that cause anaphylaxis or other allergies that would cause anaphylaxis or a severe physical outbreak of some sort. We'll also provide you with emergency contact information. The member may put their insurance information on there. You know, for all those guys that work for the private ambulance companies that have to have that, we have that available for them. And in addition to that, we have a service that we call the family contact service, where we will actually make a phone call to the family so that they can come and be where their family member is. So if they're transported to an emergency room, we're going to get a family member there so that they can be supportive and also sign any documentation that may need to be signed.
Excellent. So it really provides just a whole host of additional information. From the back of this single emblem, this single pendant or bracelet?
Our IDs now come in many, many, many different ways. They're gold jewelry, they're charm bracelets, they're watches. I wear a watch. I think it's a phenomenal idea. I've been a member of Medic Alert over 10 years, and I love my watch. Now I only have to wear one piece of jewelry, and I'm a typical guy, so I don't really like the jewelry.
Right, so you have to, you don't have a little bit of everything. You know, it seems like it's come a whole lot farther than the old stainless steel. It seemed like that was what I remember seeing, those stainless steel bracelets that were a medical alert device.
Yeah, I call that the Henry Ford syndrome. Yeah, you know, Henry used to say you can have any color of Ford you want as long as it's black.
Okay.
And I think we did that for a long time. We really tried to keep to that traditional stainless steel red lettering look. And about 10 years ago, we really said, you know, we can't do this. People don't want to wear this anymore. People don't want that look. They want to be jewelry. They want it to blend in with their clothing. They don't want to stand out. So we provided that. And we have probably 150 different products now. Prices range from $995 to, I think, about $1,100 for the top of the line gold piece.
Okay. So, you know, it's real jewelry if
it's
they want.
It's real jewelry.
If that's what you want, it's real jewelry.
Exactly. And it's not what you need. The paramedics are going to be more alert to something that's on the wrist. That's the traditional, because that's the first place we go to take a pulse. But guess what? I'm out there teaching them. That's my job. I'm the educator for Medic Alert, and I'm out there teaching the paramedics and the ER staff to not only look at the wrist, but look around the neck for those necklaces. Look around the ankles for those young ladies who like to wear the anklets get the oversized bracelets to do that. But it only takes about 30 seconds. If you stay keen, stay alert as a paramedic, it really only takes about 30 seconds to notice a piece of jewelry, do a quick flip around, and make sure it's not a medical ID of some sort.
So because they've branched into so many different areas, we really need to be alert to anything that could contain that information, and we'll be able to recognize it because it'll say, if it's from the Medic Alert Foundation, it'll say Medic Alert on the back.
It'll say Medic Alert right on the front. It has the words Medic and Alert on the either side of a caduceus, and on the back it always has the member's information, the Medic Alert phone number, and the member ID number.
So that's the information they would look for. Now, you talked about education. You're the educator to get out there. And are you just spreading the word about Medic Alert, or is there a lot of other tools that a paramedic can pick up from what you guys have to offer?
Well, we try to offer. Over the years, we've offered quite a bit of training. On my table at my booth, we have a geriatrics manual that we've offered for several years. Mm-hmm. Where this is the third edition, I believe, that we're at now. We're now looking at producing the fourth edition.
Oh, wow.
And that's all information we provide to users free. Our members pay, you know, that's what their membership fees pay for, so that we can keep people trained to help our members.
So if you're a training officer listening to this and you're not at the expo, is can they contact Medic Alert directly to talk about, is there any educational opportunities in the region that they can follow up on? Or?
There is. They can get quite a bit of information from us. And the easiest way to find it is to go to our website at www.medicalert.org. You can order the material right there from the professional section. We will send it out to you. Usually it's out within a couple of weeks. Sometimes if I'm on the road a lot, it may take a little longer because I process most of those by hand.
Okay. So. But it's information that's available to the providers out there. And I think, you know, I've been following your company, your organization for a long time and really get behind you 100%. I mean, I'm from the state of Maryland, so you actually act as a valid DNR certificate for us. Are there other states that have, I'm sure there are other states that do that.
We do. Right now we have 13 states that we serve as a valid DNR order. So if somebody has the EMS do not resuscitate engraving specific to their state. Now, please follow your local protocols when you look at this.
People listening to the Medicast are used to me saying that, because I'll be like, look, don't, just because Jamie said it doesn't mean that that's the way you do it. Follow your own protocols, follow your own guidelines. But if your state does have a DNR guideline and use MedicAlert, it would be followed there.
And it's very simple to find out. Now, some states call them the EMS authorities. California, it's an EMS authority. Most states, it's done under the Department of Health or the Department of Public Safety. But whoever governs your EMS, what you do in EMS, on their website, just go to the DNR section, and it will tell you who the provider of the DNR ID is, if there's a DNR ID for your state. We have 13 that we are the provider or a provider for. There are probably 20 others that we engrave that it's available. And MedicAlert will not engrave DNR on an ID unless we have a copy of a valid order on file. And that order we can fax to you at any time. So let's say somebody's from Colorado that's not a state that we're specifically a vendor for the DNR. We say Colorado DNR on file, and we can fax that to you. So if you get in contact with your medical director, tell them this is on file. They will usually give you the approval to do it. Again, it's area specific. But then we can fax that to you for your PCR and your records.
Okay. So that DNR can extend beyond those 13 states and gives a little more power to, you know, I'm a big proponent of, you know, not flogging people that don't want to be flogged anymore, you know, and it's a horrible way to say it, but okay, you know, guess what? We don't mince words, I guess, as EMS providers. We call it like it is, and I think that there are a lot of times we wish we didn't have to, you know, that cancer patient who we know is terminal and is days away from dying, and nobody bothered to get a DNR for them, and they're a full code, and you just feel wrong.
You do. You feel very wrong, and I know I've been in the same situation. I've been a paramedic for almost 30 years now, and it is definitely one of those things that you think it's sad, because I would much rather sit at the bedside of a patient, which I've done also, and hold their hand while they take their last breath and then write my paperwork. Yeah. Than I would to put them through something that I know is not going to be helpful for them at that time.
Yeah. So, and that's why we have tools like the MedicAlert bracelets and jewelry and people, you know, it's all about educating not just the providers but the public that these tools are out there to provide them information about their medical condition, information about their their do not resuscitate status. But we have to educate the public that these tools actually exist.
Yes, we do. And for 52 years, we've been trying to do that at some level. You know, sometimes we do better than others. But again, we're a nonprofit organization. So if you want to make a donation, feel free. But it'll keep me employed longer if I have more money.
You know, so. Well, that's okay. So while we're doing this, tell us again how we can get in contact with MedicAlert. And
the easiest way really to find out as much as you want to at your leisure without having to ask questions or answer questions is the MedicAlert website at www.medicalert.org. Our 800 phone number is there if you would like to call to somebody. So you can do things by telephone, on the website. And if you're already a member, you can even update your records now on the website. So the web has really made life a lot easier.
It makes it easier for patients to update their records and keep that information up to date. And Greg, I want to thank you for taking the time to sit down and talk to us about, you're talking about MedicAlert, but you're really talking about important issues that every provider needs to keep in mind. You know, it's easy to forget to check for, you know, medical bracelets and IDs.
Calls can become very busy sometimes, and when I say it only takes 30 seconds, that can be a challenging 30 seconds, you know, and I'm fully aware of that. But we're alert, we're keen, this is what we do, and a lot of times it doesn't take the physical act of thinking about it, it's just part of what we do,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Getting good habits.
And you know, you were talking about, I talk about MedicAlert, but outside of that, we affect a lot of other nonprofit organizations as well, because there's the Alzheimer's Association.
That's right. You guys have a partnership with them.
We do. We take care of their safe return program for them. We have a partnership with the Autism Society of America.
Okay.
That we work with their Safe and Sound program. We work with the Bipolar Foundation and their Safe Return program. It's a whole lot of joint partnerships with other nonprofit organizations to, and it helps us all to save money and helps us all to take care of the members better.
Well, it's important, you know, to hear that there's more resources for us out there to help us do our jobs better. And it makes them easier in some respects, but it helps us treat those patients the way that they need to be handled appropriately.
Or the way that they request to be handled.
Yeah, or the way that they request to be handled.
Sometimes, in the hospital setting, Medical Alert ID could seriously be considered as a patient directive. And while JCO doesn't govern EMS in any way, and I think we're all very glad of that.
Yeah, as a person who works as a nurse, I have to say thank you that JCO hasn't trickled down into EMS. I think we talk about getting EMS into the hospital sector more and more, but I have to say I don't think we want that. If JCO just started doing inspections of ambulances and EMS stations and started making the rules arbitrarily as they often do, I would be bad.
Well, in California, the Highway Patrol checks our ambulances once a year, and that can be a nerve-wracking enough.
Oh, my goodness.
it's just a thought of looking at that Medical Alert ID as a patient directive and knowing that there's information there that can either affect your decision process when you're treating a patient as a paramedic or an emergency room physician because you may not be able to give them a certain medication that you would give them because of their disease process, or you may want to give them a medication because of their particular disease process. And I can tell you there's a little over 5,000 medical issues of a different sort that affect emergency care. We're working with the American College of Emergency Physicians to keep everything in a chronological, kind of what's most important to the patient if they have multiple problems.
Okay.
So it's for us, that's the very important part, is really kind of what's the most important to help that patient, what's the most important to keep that patient their care within what they want.
Okay.
The limitations or how far we go, how far we don't go, no blood products, no this. There's a lot of reasons people want to make medical decisions, and we try to cover those.
Well, that's great. I want to thank you for being on the Medicast and remind everybody that, first of all, if you're here at the Expo and you are listening to this or hearing one of the uploads later tonight, you can check out the Medic Alert booth. What booth number are you?
We are in booth 1644.
So, find 1600 and look down that aisle and you'll find you guys at 1644. And really check out some of the things they have. They have some of your geriatric books are here, so they can be, if I know anybody at conferences, you don't want to take anything home you don't have to take home, right?
No, and if they want a geriatrics manual and then don't want to take it home, they can order one on our website and I will mail you one.
Okay, well, there's that. But I was talking about you not having to take it home.
We love to bring stuff home from the expo.
Who thinks it's all about the swag, folks? Right? Okay, there we go.
I have some beautiful lighted pens. If anybody wants to come by, I tell my partner all the time, my goal is to be the light of the show. So it's a little difficult.
I'll send my
here.
Assistant Mary over to grab one for us. That'll be nice.
All right.
Definitely. Well, Greg, thank you very much for being on.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time, and thank you for inviting me.
Well, keep up the good work at Medic Alert.
I will do that. Thank you.
Great. Bye-bye.
And that's going to wrap up this week's episode of the MedicCast. I want to remind everybody to make sure you head over, check out all the links in the show notes. There's some additional links to the Medic Alert Foundation for Greg Adams and some of the great stuff they're doing over there, as well as all the links for the news and some of the other links discussed in this episode. You can all find all of that over at medicast.com/blog. You'll find a link for the show notes right there at the top. Click on that and the most recent episode will be right at the top, and you can go on down that list as you need to find whatever episode you're looking for. Don't forget, you can also contact me, send in those emails to podmedic@mac.com, and also voicemails, 941-306-3342, 941-30-MEDIC. get in touch with me here. In fact, with our big 200 episode coming up, definitely take some time, a few seconds, to call in and leave a message for our 200th episode coming up the very first week in January. So you have a couple of weeks, but let's get those calls in. I'm going to put together a mashup of some of those calls and assemble them for you, and I'd love to hear from you. So definitely get those calls in to our voicemail line. Again, 941-306-3342. 941-30-MEDIC. Time to close out the show, and I'll wrap up, as I always do, with some PodSafe music, and it's holiday time, so we'll have some holiday PodSafe music. This song is one of my favorite rock and roll versions of a classic Christmas tune. This is Jill Parr's Do You Hear What I Hear? If you like what you hear, there's a link in the show notes to let her know, and you can follow up on that in the show notes. And it's a great way to let these artists know that we appreciate them making their music available for podcasts, and go ahead and follow that link and let her know you heard it here on The Medic Cast. In the meantime, I'll wrap up and remind you that I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. Make sure you all have a safe, healthy, and happy Christmas and holiday time in the next week or two, and that you're able to spend some good time with your family, friends, and loved ones. I will remind you to make sure you do that by remembering Scene Safety, BSI. Kick it.